Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around. But those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Everybody, welcome to another, or should I say, a special Friday night edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Mamo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Not much, man. Just happy to chill with you on a Friday night.
Yeah, it's a humid Friday night as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So you know. Good thing is, you know, both of our New York teams are heating up, you know, in the standings. So we're going to get it. We're going to dive right into that. Talk about, unfortunately, the Rangers losing, getting eliminated by the Tampa Bay Lightning on Saturday night. Also talk about, the NBA Finals with the Warriors knocking off the Celtics, and stuff that's going on in WWE and AEW and anything else that's important in the world of sports and entertainment. But most importantly, you know, we'd love to hear from you. And, of course, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear you, and you have the open invitation to, you know, have your voices heard. So feel free to give us a call. But with that said, let's tip off with the NBA Finals finally ending. And, of course, we have a new champion, but a familiar one. And, of course, the Warriors, they are back. They're back on top. I think this was, if my memory serves me right, this was their sixth time out of the past 8 years in the finals. And this is their fourth championship to show for it. So, you know, we re-entered the era of the Warrior Curry era, you know. And like Draymond Green said after the game, welcome back to the Warriors Invitational. And the series looked kind of scary for the Warriors, you know, earlier on, but the Warriors, you know, they got back to their winning ways. The Celtics was dominating them physically. And I got to admit, I thought the Celtics was going to win this series. But, you know, the Celtics, the Warriors, man, they did what they did best. And Curry, man, he put on a show. You know, scoring points. Was it last Friday when he scored like what 43 points to you know, I think to tie the series. I think at that point. Last night, you know, Curry, he scored 34 points and had 7 assists and 7 rebounds. With a near triple-double. So, you know, props to Curry and the Warriors coming out on top, winning Game 6 and thus winning the NBA Finals. They won Thursday night by the final score of 103-90, and they held the Celtics in check. Jaylen Brown looked like the only dude on the you know, on the Celtics actually had a, a good scoring performance. You know, they held Tatum to 13 points. Horford had a double-double with 19 points and 14 rebounds. And, you know, that's basically it of note. And the Warriors manhandled them, especially in Boston, of all places. So, props to the, you know, to the Warriors.
I mean, going into the series, I wanted the Celtics to win. You know, the Celtics throughout this postseason, I think they played the tougher teams. You know, they have to go through a Nets team that was talented, that had a talented roster. They beat them. Then in the next round, they beat the defending champs, Milwaukee Bucks. And then the round after that, they beat the tough Miami Heat. And then they have to face this Golden State Warrior team. And I feel like the Celtics didn't show up in this series for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs, you know, they were playing competitive basketball. And even when they were down, they would come back. But in this series, it was a different story. It was like they really didn't have a chance. You know, I mean, after Curry went off for like 40-plus points in that game, was it game 4, I believe?
When he scored the 43 points. In that,
yeah, when he went off, I mean, after that, Celtics didn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then they lost game 5, and now and they were closed out in game 6. But, I think Celtics I mean, they still had a good season, so they have something to look forward to next year. But it was a disappointing finals for them, especially Tatum, who only scored like 12 points or something like that in that game 6.
Yeah, I think it was 13. But, yeah, same thing.
Yeah, so – but got to give it to Golden State Warriors. You know, their fourth mm-hmm. championship in 7 or 8 years. And Steph Curry gets his elusive NBA Finals MVP. And I'm surprised that was his first NBA Finals MVP. I thought he had one already.
I thought so too.
Apparently this was his first. But
they probably gave it to Durant those the other two times probably.
Yeah, the first time it probably went to Clay or someone else, I guess. But
probably.
Thought the MVP of this finals was Andrew Wiggins. I mean, this guy was crashing the boards. He was, you know, going after loose balls, playing good defense, making key mm-hmm. plays. I mean, this guy should have got the – I mean, no disrespect to Steph Curry. You know how great he is. He's a mm-hmm. Hall of Famer. But Wiggins, man, was making some plays out there that, you know, some life-saving plays, Charles Oakley plays out there. Mm-hmm. I thought he should have gotten MVP, you know, but – at the end of the day, you know, Curry, he's their best player, and he did score 40-plus points in that game 4 and, you know, hit some clutch shots. So he deserves it. But I thought Wiggins You know, he was without him in the series, I think the series would have been much closer than it was. But congrats to the Golden State Warriors. You know, they're I guess you could say they're the team of the you can't say decade, right? Because this decade just started. But
exactly.
They're
the modern
they're,
era.
They're a dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
They're a dynasty for sure. So congrats to them.
Yeah, man, they definitely deserve it. You know,
yeah,
I thought
they came a long way. I mean, just a couple years ago, they were struggling. They had injuries, and you know, they were
to Klay Thompson.
Yeah, they were in the standings. They were not, their record was not good, and they've come all the way back to this point and won the championship again. And they have a mix of veterans and young players, so you know they're gonna be around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they win it again next year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Nick Wright, he was saying, I think earlier this year, that you know it was a bad move for them to get you know Wiggins because he was making you know $95 million throughout his contract. But yeah, that quote isn't looking good now because Wiggins was he was definitely a huge part of them you know bringing the title back to Golden State.
Oh yeah, definitely, for sure.
But yeah, when the Celtics was up 2-1, I thought it was like reminiscent of I thought the Celtics was going to be the next Bad Boys, you know, like, and, you know, Curry's team, the Warriors, would have been like, you know, the Bulls before, you know, they finally knocked, you know, Jordan. I mean, before they finally knocked off, you know, Isaiah Thomas and, you know, the Detroit Pistons, you know, because if you remember from 88 to, what, 90, the Pistons kept knocking out the Bulls. You know, because of their physicality, you know, most notably the Jordan rules. Every time Jordan had a chance to score, they just knocked them down. Like, you know, like they didn't care about ending his career, man. Like they really outmuscled them to the point that Jordan had to force his team and himself to bulk up. And that's how they were able to finally overtake them in, 91. And then the rest is history. So I thought this would have been like 1990 for the Warriors. The Warriors would have got knocked out, and then the following year they would have bulked up a bit and overtook them. But it's like they sped up the process, you know, when they overtook the Celtics, and now Warriors are back on top yet again.
Yeah, I mean that's tough to say because I mean Warriors they won the championship before, so. That's
know,
not like they're
Celtics
bums,
team,
you know.
No, I know that. But the Celtics team was really dominating them those first couple of games before, you know, Curry woke up with that 44-point performance and changed the whole momentum of that whole series, you know, by evening up and then, you know, they just ran away with it right after that.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about the Warriors is you can't keep them down for long. They have too many good shooters on that team.
Oh yeah,
so,
especially Curry, man. At game four, they were knocking him down, and he was still making the shots. It was like
we were at a bar watching it. Yeah,
right. Yeah, like there was like five or six shots that he made falling down, and he still made the shot.
Yep.
It was like unreal. It was just unbelievable. And, he could not be stopped. You know, what Clyde Frazier said, you know, like when someone's on a scoring barrage, he said that guy looked like a man possessed. I differ. He looked like a man blessed because everything he made was like he was making miraculous shots left and right. Like, they just couldn't stop him.
Yeah, Curry is, you could say he's the greatest shooter ever.
Hands down, best pure shooter. Like he overtook, you know, Reggie Miller or Ray Allen as that, man.
Yeah.
Like he's scary. And, you know, it's just, I hate to think about it, but yeah, man, like, man, if only we could have had that, we could have had that pick just before them, but we never had the chance. So at least at the bright side, at least the Knicks didn't blow a pick, make a bad decision and pass on him. And so, yeah, it never happened. Knicks never had a chance to get him because they were one pick away. So
even if we had gotten him, I mean, would we have even surrounded him with the players? I mean,
that's a good point. Good point.
I mean, Golden State, he has the players that, you know, tons of players to surround him and to help him win the championship. I don't know if they would have. In the Knicks, they've been trying, but
yeah,
they haven't built enough good enough roster to win the championship.
That's a fair enough point. I mean, I can't give this Knicks team a benefit of the doubt. Like, if they would have struck it, you know, rich with him, if they would actually make the right decisions to do it. I mean, they would be in a much better position to lure people to come. That's for sure. But at the end of the day, we just don't know, you know, or if we do know, it's not going to be a positive thing because Lord knows Knicks have been on this championship drought, which is, you know, most likely going to be at least 50 years from now because we're entering the 50th anniversary coming up next season or this upcoming season. And, you know, this was the 75th year of the league, which is also the 75th year of the Knicks also because Knicks is the oldest team in NBA. But, you know, well, I mean, Thursday night is draft night. And, you know, there's conflicting rumors. Maybe they might trade up to with the Kings, get the fourth pick and draft Ivy. You know, this guard that they feel like he would change the trajectory of the Knicks if they got him. But unfortunately, Knicks have the 11th pick. And, you know, there's just so many different rumors of who they're going to trade. Are they going to trade Randall? They're going to trade Toppin and Quickly and all. I mean, there's all these different rumors. But I guess we'll find out Thursday night if they'll be able to acquire anybody, you know, of importance. Number one pick, people are expecting it to be Johnny Davis. And, you know, hopefully we'll see if Knicks can at least – trade, you know, get themselves up, you know, to move up somehow. But, you know, we'll believe when we see it. There's also a center in the league. Duran, you know, he's a prototypical center. Knicks might be interested in him, you know, especially with Mitchell Robinson most likely leaving. Though one team that was heavily pursuing him potentially was the Mavericks, but they acquired Christian Wood, you know, in the trade. So that knocks him out of them pursuing him. And then, of course, you know, Knicks are trying to get Rick Bronson's son, Jalen Bronson, but the Mavs said that they were going to do everything in their power to re-sign them. So, you know, this is another thing that prevents the Knicks from, you know, improving is this Supermax deal. You know, it's not in the player's best interest to go someplace else. You know, even though it's a bright light city, you know, they're going to get paid more to stay, you know, where they act and, you know, maybe force a sign-in trade. And then, you know, that's another reason Knicks is where they at. So we'll see if things change Thursday night, the draft. Yeah, anything you'd like to say about this NBA draft, state of the Knicks, or anything NBA related?
We'll see how the Knicks fare in this upcoming draft. I mean, I don't have any big expectations right now, but hopefully they can get someone good. Hopefully they can get a point guard. That's what we're needed and need desperately needing right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they desperately need a point guard. They can't play around. Like they gotta finally man up and get a point guard.
Yeah.
Address this seemingly franchise long drought of a point guard. So we'll see what happens. Shifting gears with the Rangers. You know, the Rangers, they had a great run. They had a young, gritty team. But, you know, unfortunately, their Cinderella story, you know, ended on Saturday night, you know, against the two-time defending champions, world champion Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, they were up 2-0. And, you know, like I thought, the turn of the series was game three. They were up 2-0 in the series, 2-0 in the game. And then they allowed three unanswered goals, including a lot of games they lost. They've given up crucial, decisive, game-winning goals, which basically, you know, killed them, you know. And, they lost by the final score of 2-1. And, you know, now the Rangers have to try to have some key signings and try to, bounce back, you know.
Well, they had a great season. You know, you got to tip your cap. You know, and they beat the Penguins and they beat
the Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes. They almost beat the Lightning, but they fell short. So you have a lot of things to look forward to next year.
Mm-hmm. A young, gritty little team.
Yep.
Taro Vatolano. He scored the only goal for the Rangers that game, and we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. And on Shesterkin, you know, he had another great performance. You know, he made 29 of his 31 save attempts, but unfortunately allowed the two crucial goals. And the Tampa Bay Lightning were able to win the series in game six. And Tampa Bay currently, as of right now, they lost game one to the Avalanche. They lost the first game Wednesday night, final score of 4-3. They're looking to even up the series tomorrow night. And and then, you know, game three, they're going to host game three and four, which they're hoping they could, win, have a 3-1 lead at the end of game four. But, we'll see if Avalanche can maintain a home field advantage as, they host the Lightning tomorrow night. So yeah, we'll keep you posted on series turnout. And shifting gears. The New York Mets, man, they've been playing well. They won earlier tonight, highlighted by a 7-run, 6 innings. I think they scored six runs with two outs, highlighted by Pete Alonso hitting his second career grand slam. Lindor, he led off the game with a 3-run home run in his first game that his mom witnessed. His mom saw him. She surprised them, showing up to the ballpark. This was her first game witnessing him as a New York Met. And, you know, he put on a show. He had a grand slam. He had some sparkling plays on the field. And, you know, most importantly, the Mets, they win their first game against the Marlins. Believe it or not, June 17 is their first game against the Marlins, you know, at Citi Field. Like, I mean, what kind of schedule are they doing here? But, yeah, the Mets, you know, the Marlins are an improved team. They got two great starters in Alcantara and Lopez who suffered the loss today. And then you got Carrasco. You know, he pitched well, plus innings, maybe struck out 7, I think. Yeah, Carrasco, he's been healthy. He improves to 8-1. Bassett, he won, the previous game before that. No, actually 2 games before that, with his first good start in 5 or 6 starts. Yeah, I think he suspected, like, maybe he might have been tipping his pitches or so. And, yeah, he went on to his worst start. But fortunately for the Mets, you know, Bassett was able to turn it around in the previous Brewers series. Scherzer and DeGrom are expected to come back hopefully soon. Scherzer, it looks like he should be back maybe in 2 weeks or so. DeGrom, you know, it's still up in the air when he's coming back. Tyler McGill, unfortunately, he rejoins them on the IL again. He tore something yesterday, so he's going to be out for like a month at least. But all in all, you know, the Mets, you know, they're winning games. Yeah, they're winning games, and even though there's people out, Escobar didn't even play Friday night and Thursday because he wasn't feeling well, but he was at the ballpark, and he's expected to tomorrow. And in the Mets minor league system, they have Francisco Alvarez, who was just torching it. Like, he had like double-digit home runs. Guy's like 20 years old, 4 years younger than all the other players in, what, Double-A. And, you know, his debut could be imminent. Most likely maybe a September call-up, but by next year for sure. You know, as he works on his defense, you know, he should make his Met debut in the future.
Mets have been playing real well. The Braves have been sneaking up. They've been playing well also.
Oh, yeah.
9 of their last 10, it looks like. So Braves are starting to come back.
Yeah.
Peeping up on you guys.
Oh, yeah. But funny thing is, they had their 13-game winning streak snapped by the Cubs, who snapped their 10-game losing streak.
Mm.
Something had to give. And the Cubs won by the most narrowest margin in history. They beat the Braves 1-0.
But Braves have won 13 in a row?
Yeah, Braves won 13 in a row.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that many.
Yeah, and I think Phillies just had their 9-game winning streak snapped. What was it, yesterday? So, yeah, the teams are breathing down on the Mets' neck as expected. I thought those teams that came back towards the end of, like, September, make it close. But, yeah, these guys are really – they're in it. I mean, the Braves, we hardly played the Braves. The Braves and the Marlins are the two teams we rarely played this season. Yeah, we're practically almost done with the Marlins and the Nationals. But, yeah, most importantly, you got Lindor and Alonso, two guys who are on the top – of the National League in RBIs. Yeah, Pete Alonso, I think he has the lead with 19 and what, 53 RBIs. Yeah, man, and Alonso's actually hitting for average this year. So, I mean, this guy, And God willing, he could be the first ever Met MVP if he keeps this up. So hopefully he can stay healthy. We'll definitely keep an eye on how the Mets are doing so far. They won the series against the Brewers recently. They had a 5-5 record on the West Coast trip, which is usually the nail in the coffin for many teams, especially the East Coast teams when they come over there with all those tough teams, the Dodgers, the Padres, Giants, Angels. You know, even though Angels haven't been playing, Angels did start off well earlier this year. They had like what, a 10-game winning streak, and then they had like a 13-game losing streak, which they snapped against. I'm trying to remember which team it was. So White Sox, I can't even remember. Yeah, and they had their losing streak snapped just before they faced the Mets. The game just before they faced the Mets, they had their losing streak snapped. Hopefully the Mets can keep this going, man, because the Mets, we talked about the Knicks drought, the 50-year championship drought, but yeah, the Mets, man, they have a 35-year drought, close to 36, because they're the 86th team's anniversary is coming up in 4 years, so. They got to, hopefully this will, they'll, today, this year is the magical year. And speaking of another team in New York, you might be familiar with, who's on a magical run themselves, is of course the typical Bronx Bombers, the New York Yankees. They won yet again, 8 straight in a row, scored 8 in the fifth. I mean, both of these teams are like, they're on a barrage scoring-wise, and they defeated the Blue Jays. What's your thoughts on the Yankees? I mean, what more can you say about this team that hasn't been said?
And this team is unreal. I mean, I'm watching the game. It's like 2-1 Yankees, and I go to the kitchen, just about 15 minutes. I come back. They're up by like 10-1. I'm like, what happened? And 15 minutes I was in the kitchen.
Wow.
And they scored the eight runs in that fifth inning to blow open the game, led by a grand slam by Rizzo. I mean, these guys, they've been killing it, man. They've scored the 10 runs in 11 games. 10 runs 11 times, I think, I should say, this season. That's the most in Major League Baseball. Of course, they lead the Major League Baseball in runs scored and home runs. But, I mean, it's been the pitching. The pitching every night, it seems like there's another guy, throwing gems and holding these teams under 2 runs or less. And you got Tejon. James Tejon is having the best year of his career, 7-1 under 3 ERA. Cortez is having a Cy Young season.
Oh, yeah.
Cole is starting to look like an ace again.
Mm-hmm.
Severino, he was scratched his last start, but he looks back at the form. He's pitching like he could be an ace. I mean, yeah, this team, they're on pace to win 120 games. If they were to lose, so right now the Yankees, they're over 32 games, over 500.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to just finish the season 500, they would still finish the season over 30 games, over 500. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, these guys, it's unreal. I mean, I can't even believe it. I've been watching the Yankees for years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're playing real well right now. It's like, they have a 10-game lead in the AL East. That's the biggest lead in any division. I mean, they're just leaving these teams behind right now. And let's just hope they didn't peak too early. Let's just hope this continues for the rest of the season.
Yeah, man, they're definitely living up to the Bronx Bomber moniker. Joey Gallo hit his 9th home run, which was a 2-run shot, which was so far the Yankees' 105th home run already this year. you know, Judge is leading the league with, what, 23 home runs at least?
25. Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. And this is his walk year so far. But, you know, we all know the Yankees are going to do the right thing, you know, like a Spike Lee film, and give this man the money.
Well, yeah, if he ends up hitting 50, 60 home runs, mm-hmm. wins the MVP, he might have to.
They got to. They have no choice but to.
Yeah. But the Yankees are playing real well right now. I mean, it's couldn't ask for anything more. I mean, what else can you say? You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, and your boy Tyone is going to pitch tomorrow.
Yeah, Tyone, he's been great. That dude has been great. I mean, the whole pitching has been great this year. But, again, I just hope they didn't peak too early. I just mm-hmm. hope this continues for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to me, this is, I mean, you know, I'm used to the Yankees doing great like this, but yeah, they are taking it to a whole new level. I mean, this is normal for me seeing the Yankees do this well, but yeah, they have surprisingly took it to another level. So yeah, so we'll see. It's like what, at least the second 8-game winning streak that they've had so far this year.
Yeah,
and counting.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, you know, we'll definitely keep an eye out also for the Yankees, you know. You won't be hard to find out how well they're doing. So
yeah, and you know, those trades paid off, you know, deciding mm-hmm. to let Gary Sanchez sign a trade him. Again, Trevino. I mean, Trevino has been an asset to this team. Guy is one of the best defensive catchers in baseball right now, and he's been clutch for us at times. But I think that was a good move in trading Sanchez, who was kind of slacking at times
mm-hmm.
and not hitting in the clutch. I mean, you got Trevino, who's been a key asset to this team, and also as far as pitch calling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this guy just deserves an all-star nod once, you know, the all-star game comes around.
And kind of Falefa has been playing well defensively for you boys, too.
Yeah, yeah, our defense, yeah. I mean, Cashman, you know, a lot of people were doubting him, but he improved the defense a lot, and he got guys who could hit in the clutch. So props to Cashman.
So you're saying when it comes to, you know, the moves he made, Cashman has been money.
Yeah, Cashman mm-hmm. has been money, definitely.
Yeah, no doubt. But let's shift gears. WWE, man, a lot of drama going on. You know, Sasha Banks got released after all, you know, her and Naomi walking out. Vince McMahon, he stepped down as CEO, you know, because of the alleged, you know, affair he had with an employee that he, you know, paid her off allegedly. And Stephanie, who just recently left the company, is now stepping in as the interim CEO. Like, I mean, these stuff sound like stuff that could happen in the Attitude Era, not like real crazy drama that's going on. Now, what's your thoughts on what's going on?
Right now, it's a soap opera right now in WWE. I mean, I'm not really surprised by the Vince McMahon stuff because there was always rumors that he, you know, was fooling around with female employees or female WWE divas back in the day, but yeah, I mean, you know, this new report with him and John Laurinaitis, you know, using this female employee like a toy, passing her around, and this man engaging in sexual relations with her, which he says it was consensual, but yeah, no, it's some shocking stuff, you know, very shocking, and now he stepped down as CEO and chairman of the company, although he will still have creative responsibilities in the company still. But the board, I guess, you know, pressure from the board, and he had to step down. So right now Stephanie will be the interim CEO and chairman, and I think she might be she might hold on to that position going forward. You know,
yeah.
I think it was time for Vince McMahon to step down anyway. And he's getting up there. He doesn't look healthy. You know, well, not healthy, but he looks ill. You know, there's definitely something going on there that the McMahon family is not disclosing. And I just think we need someone else in charge of the company right now that could take this company to another level.
Yeah, man, it's just a crazy situation. Like, yeah, like you said, it's not surprising. Like, even in the Attitude Era, his character has been flirting, you know, having, you know, adultery and infidelity with multiple, you know, different people, including, you know, Sable, that storyline he had with Sable,
yeah.
Trish Stratus. I mean, it's, you know, it's nothing really surprising. You know, I'm surprised John Laurinaitis is in it, but I mean, like, it's just a crazy, crazy story. I mean, a crazy allegation, which unfortunately looks like it. I mean, that's it. You know, it looks like it really happened, but yeah, it's just a messed up situation.
As far as Sasha Banks is concerned, I mean, after the stunt that her and Naomi pulled. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think WWE was gonna. This was kind of expected that WWE was gonna punish her in some way, and they decided to release her. I mean, I think she'll find another job, maybe in AEW, but you know, what her and Naomi did were not professional. So, yeah, I don't blame them for, you know, wanting to, you know, to be accepted more and have better matches, demanding more better matches in the company. But the way they did it, by just leaving when you're supposed to be performing that night, that's not professional. Imagine going to work and you just say, you know, forget about this. If you guys aren't giving me the opportunity, you know, you're not giving me the salary, I'm just walking out and not doing my job. Which most people do, but it's still not professional to do. So,
right. I mean, who knows? I mean, I agree with you. It's not professional for them to walk out, but maybe they just was fed up by, you know, broken promises. I don't know. Because it does seem like something they both wouldn't have normally done. I mean, especially Naomi, you know. But, yeah, it's a messed up situation. Now Sasha Banks' career with WWE.
And this is not the first time Sasha Banks has vented against the company, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There was a time she was thinking about leaving. She wanted to leave, but they kept her on the contract, and I think she went to Japan, I think, and then that reinvigorated her love for the business. But, yeah. I'm guessing maybe stuff she's seen and burnout is a factor to what she did. I mean, it's, you said, it's unprofessional to do that. But, Can you say, man, this is just another crazy thing that happened in the world of WWE and professional wrestling. And then Jeff Hardy, you know, got caught with another DUI.
Yeah, this guy needs here, so... And AEW has suspended him.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's messed up.
So probably they might end up releasing him. And I don't know how many chances you're going to give Jeff Hardy. I mean, this guy.
Yeah, this.
And, you know, WWE offered him help and he rejected it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like, this, you know, Jeff Hardy is going to become a tragedy. if he doesn't get help.
I hope not, but unfortunately, it looks like it's
heading that direction.
Yeah. I thought him leaving WWE and going to AEW, being reunited with Jeff, I mean, with Matt, you know, might have, you know, would have reinvigorated his career and, you know, maybe make him mature a bit. But he's still doing the same things. Apparently, there's a video that was leaked, I think hours before he got into the car accident, he said Whiskey is his best friend and his worst enemy.
Oh my God!
And it definitely rang true that, you know, the Whiskey is his worst enemy because, yeah, man, it just messed up his reputation. He was on the road to recovery.
Yep.
And now this happened. I think this is the end of his career. To be honest with you, could he get one more chance? Maybe, but. Yeah, man, it's just too much to, you know, put your trust and faith in him. You know, when he can't, you know, unfortunately, you know, cure himself of this demon of addiction that he keeps, you know, submitting to all the time. You know, it's messed up. Hopefully he can get it right. Because, like you said, if he doesn't, unfortunately, it could end in tragedy. But, on SmackDown,
that was
Riddle,
a great match between Riddle and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I heard, Riddle, you know, obviously lost. And, you know, Roman Reigns retains and Brock Lesnar popped up, took the whole bloodline to Suplex City. And now it officially sets up SummerSlam where, you know, these two WWE Hall of Famers will be battling it out with each other yet again.
Yeah, that was surprising to see Brock Lesnar come out there. And, yes, looking like, you know, we might possibly have a SummerSlam match between the two, maybe.
No, yeah, I think I read somewhere it's official. Count how many times these boys fought each other. This could be the 185th time they faced each other, for all I know.
Yeah. I mean, come on, find some other opponent.
Couldn't they say this for at least WrestleMania at the latest?
Yeah.
I don't know, man, like. Sheesh. Like, how many times have you got to fight each other?
I know.
And we knew Riddle was a placeholder. Ain't nobody losing the title. And this is my problem with, you know, finding the title, all these titles. The WWE, you know, WWE Universal and the tag team titles. Like, these titles are not going anywhere anytime soon. Like, you can't even deceive yourself into thinking that these titles are going to drop.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then these guys are hardly there. Like, Roman Reigns is hardly there. Brock Lesnar is hardly here, you know. I mean, Brock Lesnar has been showing up a lot more recently than he has since his, thing days, you know, to start his career from, like, 02 to 04. He's been popping up a lot more, you know, since he's a babyface. But, yeah, man. I mean, these titles are not going anywhere. There's not going to be no title change anytime soon. And now Roman Reigns has both titles, you know. So you're going to need a Hall of Fame guy or future Hall of Fame guy to knock the title off him. And I think that the earliest is going to be WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's possible. It's definitely possible right now.
I mean, with Brock Lesnar, I mean, it is very possible. It could happen on SummerSlam, but I don't think they're going to take the title off him.
Yeah.
But who knows? What else was I going to mention? Yeah, Yeah, I don't know if you heard, but, you know, rest in peace, Dave Hebner. Earl Hebner's twin brother, he passed away.
Oh, wow. My condolences.
Yeah. My condolences go out to his family as well. AEW, Sammy Guevara, he joined the Jericho Society faction. So he rejoins his former Inner Circle stablemates in Jericho, Jake Hager. I guess that's about it. Yeah, those are the two members that he used to be in the Inner Circle with. So he joins, his girlfriend Ty Conti joins. I think Lance Archer also joined. But yeah, what else happened? AEW. Yeah, I think Christian turned heel too. Because he used to be part of the Jurassic Express. But it looks like he turned on Jungle Boy and yeah, man, let me see. Yeah, because Jericho, he defeated Ortiz in hair versus hair match. Thanks to Sammy Guevara interfering, you know, wearing a mask, luchador. Warlow defeated the plaintiffs. Will Ospreay defeated Dax Harwood. Miro, who returned last week, he defeated Ethan Page to qualify for the four-man match that will crown the new All-Atlantic Champion at Forbidden Door. That's a new title. Tony Storm defeats Britt Baker, and Young Bucks defeat Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus to become the new AEW tag team, thanks to you know, Christian turning on them. What was I gonna say? And so then what was I gonna say? So then, yeah. So I guess, I mean, that's really basically it, really. Trying to think if there's anything else I forgot to mention. Yeah, I'd say that's about it. Mac, anything you'd like to say before, you know, we head out of here?
Check out your local listings for Friday Night Mac coming up soon. And come back here, check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturday at 10, only on Blog Talk Radio. Actually, Saturdays at 11. On Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, you're the man. You check out his show, iMac. Check your local listings Saturday at 10. And check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And, of course, check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturday at 11 on Blog Talk Radio. And you know, look forward to hearing, you know, you guys to check out the next episode. So he's Macaulay Matthew, I'm William Rammel, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.